Welcome to the Owner to Owner podcast with your host, Jesse Tyler, part of the EO Podcast Network.
It's great to have you with us. I'm Jesse Tyler from the Owner to Owner podcast. So today is a special episode being recorded in front of a live audience, lively audience, at the Vermont Employee Ownership Center conference at the University of Vermont Davis Center. Special thanks to the Vermont Employee Ownership Center and the EOC team of Matt Kropp, Executive Director, Don Jameson, Program Director and Co-Founder, and Ryan Thornton, Communications and Outreach Coordinator. I work for Hypertherm, a 54-year-old global manufacturing and technology company that is almost 2,000 owners strong. So if you're not familiar with Hypertherm, there's a very high likelihood in getting here or sitting in this building that in some way you were touched by Hypertherm. So bridges that you drove across on the highway, highly likely they were cut with Hypertherm. Structural steel, the equipment to build the roads, you see wind towers, the tower part of the wind tower, all of those kinds of things. And then we look into the water jet that we do, so plasma and water jet, Purdue chicken, celery that's cut. When you see the flat top on celery, that's often cut with a water jet. So between food and infrastructure, transit and energy, in some way, likely all of us bumped into Hypertherm without knowing it in a day. So my job at Hypertherm focuses on associate or employee experience and engagement across career stages, from onboarding new hires to learning the stories and advice of our pending retirees, participatory decision-making forums like Problem Busters, ownership culture, and recognition. The goal of the Owner to Owner podcast is to have discussions about a wide range of ownership experiences and culture topics to bring more insight into the individual ownership experience. So our listeners, they can hear their peers and we can hear new voices and perspectives. So a stretch goal of the project is that a business owner considering an ESOP path, and I actually just met one who I'm now accountable to all day for learning because of Alex's intro and homework. The stretch goal is that they hear the voices of their own workers in the guests and get to get a peek into the potential future for the company they built, their legacy, and empowering the people they care about to become employee owners. The Owner to Owner podcast grew out of a friendship with Brett Kiesling, the host of the EO Podcast Network. If you don't currently know about Brett and the EO Podcast Network, we encourage you to explore it. It started in 2017. He interviews employee owners up through C-suite, does a lot of technical conversations, 400 episodes, 122,000 total listens so far. So this was an opportunity. He was looking for somebody to have an ownership voice talking to owners. And I raised my hand and all of a sudden I'm a podcaster. You never know what can happen when you go to LinkedIn. So my passion for ownership is driven by how it impacts all employee owners for sure, but I'm inspired by how it impacts the rank and file, essential workers, the doers that are often left out of the job quality and security, personal wealth building that others have access to, how employee ownership impacts those that are often the first to get laid off. Employee ownership provides a unique and inclusive opportunity for personal and financial wellness. Our live audience has ownership discussion question worksheets to make notes about their own ownership experience during the panel conversation. And depending if you're all game, after the panel concludes, we'd love to hear some of your voices if you're game. So that's out there for you to consider. So today, now I'm done the part where I talk so much. We're joined today by Katie, HR generalist from PEC Construction, Sarah Diaz, taproom manager, community outreach, Switchback, and Jessica from King Arthur Baking. So you have the mic to share. Katie, do you want to introduce yourself a little bit more? So I'm looking for just sort of your name, your title, and in the spirit of sort of Studs Terkel, for those of you that are familiar, that's part of what I try to model the podcast off. Like, what do you do? Like, a title is one thing, but if you can share a little bit of like what you do as an owner, what your role is, and then we'll get into the questions. That work for you?
Sure.
Welcome aboard.
My name is Katie Brennis, and as you mentioned, my role is an HR generalist. And what that means is that I help in all HR functions, talent acquisition, we go to training and development, and it's just really seeing the supporting and participating and aligning the HR functions with our strategic plan. So how does everybody's role place in the success of the organization?
That's great. So let's try together to make the audio work. If you could go like an inch or two away, we'll figure this out together.
Hello, my name's Sarah. I am the taproom manager and community outreach, also a little in the sales world at Switchback. Many hats, as I know most of us do have in this realm. And so, yeah, my position has been shifting a little bit more out into the world as a representative of Switchback as the world's opened up a little bit more. But I began in the tap room, so as our kind of customer facing part of the company. So really being able to represent Switchback from a place of being there, humble beginnings as a part-time bartender, and certainly a place where there is mobility in terms of whether it's upward mobility or just mobility within the company. So for, yeah, this is kind of what I was hoping to eventually do. And here I am now. So we'll get more into it.
Morning. I'm Jess Carlson. I'm the HR generalist at King Arthur Baking Company. So sometimes I wish my job was a little bit more defined, but it really does change day in and day out. I know a lot of people, like you said, with multiple hats, but really what I own is our employee lifecycle. So once someone is hired through their tenure at King Arthur, I'm kind of supporting that whole process with pre-boarding, onboarding, kind of fringe benefits. So we have a lot of great programs that we offer our employee owners to take advantage. And then also just a general resource for employees with any questions as they kind of grow within the organization as well.
Great. So Katie, if you can kick us off, what I want to do is sort of give a little bit of context to the sequence of the questions that I'm always sort of tweaking. And this is what I use, try to use consistently for the podcast. When you have new employees join your company, it can take a while to get your hands around the ownership thing. So we can talk after informally about how long you think that takes at your company. I talked to somebody from Sertronics. So this morning, you know, how long does it take to really get settled in? We both think 2 years, maybe a year to kind of get some momentum, 6 months to maybe get your feet under you. So with that as sort of the context, we like to hear how you unlock this beautiful, I know it's good, but I can't feel it. I can't taste it. I can't pick it up and reassemble it. What is this ownership thing? So that's the question. So I'm asking a couple similar questions that I gave you ahead of time. That's the intent, is if you as the audience can leave with maybe a slightly different way of saying what you do, a new idea from the panel that helps bring ownership culture to life, that's for us a win from the project. Okay. So Katie, how do you talk about ownership when you're out in the world and you're not around employee owners? How do you talk about it?
Ownership increases your sense of belonging and the difference you can make in the company because your opinions and actions matter. As an employee owner, your vote, your voice, and your opinion shape and reshape the organization's culture.
That's great. Now, what's a common reaction when you share this ownership thing with somebody who's not an owner? How do they react when you share that insight?
The key is how to differentiate us from a regular employer. How is that different? And I think that goes into a little bit deeper into the share value and how the organization is investing in you and to stay around for a long time. So you make the company, you help the company grow, but at the same time, you're growing with it.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. Sarah, same question. When you're around non-owners and you're talking ownership, how do you convey it to them? How do you share your story?
Yeah, I'm tempted to also talk a little bit about that kind of last question on our worksheet, which is helping new owners understand ownership. I guess it's definitely connected. And I touched on it just in my introduction as well, just kind of the mobility that is afforded to people. If you're starting, whether you're starting in our production team or starting in our tap room as a part-time position, the thing that I like to ask is kind of, what are your goals here? Something that I ask during the onboarding process as well is, you know, giving people the understanding that there is a little bit more kind of autonomy to the workplace if you so choose for that to be kind of the way that you're showing up to work. And I think that when people do ask about and kind of care about what it means to be joining an employee-owned company, that's something that tends to be important. You know, how much kind of control over your day do you have? Of course, there are going to be tasks that aren't your favorite. I've got those too, but there's still kind of that idea that, you know, if it takes a year or two to actually kind of get to that place of recognizing what those goals are and how you can get closer to them and how the company can help manifest those for a new employee.
Thank you.
I think for me, it really just boils down to equity. So really understanding that no matter what your position is at the company, that the work that you're doing is really building up to a greater goal of the organization. And I think that sits really well with people who aren't familiar with ESOPs or co-ops, because it's really nice to understand like the role that you're doing, but understanding there are other factors that you're contributing that maybe in other roles you don't see that as much, or you're told to kind of stay in your lane, or this is your trajectory. I feel like there's that opportunity to kind of expand expand and grow in a lot of different ways, which I know some other panelists have stated already as well.
Great. Thank you very much. So that's the intent of the questions. And you're off to, all three of you are off to a fast start. This is what we wanted to hear. So shifting the question slightly away from non-owners and talking and making it a little bit more personal. What we find in years of talking about ownership culture at Hypotherm, we see this in other ESOPs, when we really talk about culture, is there's a lot of we. And I'm trying today to get you to just the individual voice. It's almost a vulnerability in really active ESOP culture. So I want to bring it a little bit closer to home and friends and family, because as is common, a lot of us before being hired or hearing about it, it's a total mystery. What is this ownership thing? And then we definitely see, you know, at a large ESOP, we see it takes people, I think, a couple of years. I think you nailed it with a couple of years. So when you talk about friends and family, you got your job, KC, Switchback, King Arthur. How do you talk about ownership to those closest to you in your life? And you can maybe work our way back from you.
Yeah. The funny thing is my boyfriend also worked for an ESOP. So it's usually he's really familiar with it. But I think it is new to a lot of people. I think it's sometimes a subject that people don't understand right away, because they're like, what is vesting? How many years do you have to be there? What even is ownership? Like, what does that look like? So I think for me, it's just really kind of going back to the core values of the organization, because I think that's what people really understand. So really having like really that inclusive communication, transparency. I think that's the biggest one that I've talked about a lot with like family, is really understanding how the whole organization works, which I think is really something you maybe don't find other places, because you don't have access to understanding like, how is the business doing? Like, if we aren't doing well, why is it? And if we are, what's happening? So I think for me, that has been like the easiest way to kind of explain it to other people, is really just kind of get down to like, what makes us employee owned, which is a very large question, and it is constantly changing. And then kind of, what does it mean to be an employee owner, which definitely I think varies from person to person, because your own personal relationship to it is very different, including like tenure, how long you've been here, what your position is, and things like that. But yeah, it is always an interesting conversation, because sometimes people have never heard of an ESOP. Some people might have heard of employee owned, but yeah, I think it's just having that communication and kind of just listening to their questions and trying to answer them best you can.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you for starting us off. I feel like transparency is something that definitely makes employee-owned companies unique, and just being able to kind of check in a little bit more often. And one thing that I definitely talk to friends and family about is kind of the access that I personally have to the founder of the company and his dog, which is an added bonus. Yeah, he's still the acting president and is in the office pretty much Monday through Friday. Definitely take some time out to have some beers with the crew. So definitely just kind of that access to the person who had those humble beginnings and started the company, and also to be sort of really feeling that kind of passing of the torch to the rest of us employees who are still there. And another way that I like to kind of describe what ownership means, or I guess kind of, yeah, bridge that like informational gap that some people have with what does that really look like? How does that actually function in your day-to-day business? Is I find that some people are a little bit more familiar with kind of the like what co-ops can be, just sort of like the ease of like one share, one vote, you're buying into it. And I like to talk about the vesting period as like time and energy is our capital that we are using to kind of buy into the ownership at Switchback, at least. And I was lucky enough to be introduced to kind of like student housing co-ops when I was in college. So I have a little bit of background sort of in the co-op world and in collective business structures. And so when I found myself at Switchback, it was kind of a awesome timing, and I had a little bit of a base knowledge and found myself in this position to now be part of an employee-owned company and knowing that I wanted to keep going. So when I describe it to friends and family, they just know that I'm just going to keep nerding out as Alex brought up this morning. So
that's great. Thank you.
So to me, it's interesting because I kind of have two answers for like my friends and family. It's easier to say that I'm invested in the organization's success because it impacts my professional growth, my employee satisfaction, and financial wealth to provide with my loved ones, and that really via my children. But when I get to explain to them, you know, to them, it's like what working late or my volunteer work, or, you know, why do you work so hard? Why are you study so hard, and it's the ownership is your team is more family now. You know, you kind of want to be part of their success as well, and you want to help them meet their goals. So it is no longer a task. There's a sense of satisfaction to ensuring that you're meeting what you see, but also to help other people and to make sure that they look at their job and the value that they're bringing to the organization, so they're motivated to come to work. So every day, you're excited to start a new day, new opportunities to make an impact for your organization, but for their families and for your family as well. So I think that kind of have helped my children deal with my nerdy self and continue to research and study and just different aspects and just ask a lot of questions from all the employee owners and what do they do? You know, I know my role, but I want to know about your role. I want to know what you do so I can best serve and answer those questions for you.
Very nice. All right. So the last stop. So we talked about sort of folks that don't know anything about ownership, friends and family. In the spirit of new coworkers, let's just pretend we've got a full room. Let's just pretend you're doing orientation. We were lucky in this incredibly, increasingly hard time to hire that you have probably 50 people eager to work at your ESOPs. In a just quick insight, what do you say to them about ownership to help it become real? Let's pretend it's their first day. What would you say to them on their first day to plant that seed to grow the ownership tree?
So the ownership mean is yours. So your success is my success and vice versa. Make sure that, you know, you check in to make sure that I'm doing things correctly and that you're doing things correctly. So we have an opportunity to continuously learn and to improve. So find out if you know how to do things better, make sure that you share, you let us know so how we can improve together. So I think it's a collaboration culture that you really want to create with the ownership mentality so we can succeed equally.
Nice. Thank you, Sarah.
Awesome. Thank you, Katie. Yeah, I think kind of a similar, you know, putting that into people's mindset that if you're joining the team, we want to hear from you and you're part of it, not just to kind of do the job that you were hired for. And as Jesse started us off, our title isn't always exactly what we do. So kind of letting them know that. But I think also something that at least in at Switchback, kind of our passion is contagious. And so even if you don't know exactly everything or how to do everything in your job description, we're here to help you learn, you know, no questions and feedback or what it's all about. And likely when a new perspective comes in, it means that we can do something better that we just have been sort of set in our ways to do. So kind of reassuring people that we want to hear from you.
Yeah, I would echo kind of everything that both of you have said. We have an infographic that is always up in our training rooms that it's like the what if I versus the what if we, which I know was a Gartner Supply one that we worked with them to borrow. But I think that really rings true. And one of the things that's in our culture code is like, we talk about, it's very corny, but I think it is helpful in this. It's like, we're like sourdough and kind of you're bringing in all different areas to kind of create this really great loaf of bread. So it really doesn't matter what area of the business that you're in, as long as you have ideas and you want to kind of innovate and grow the company and like offering, we're always talking about making sure you have like that culture add and making sure you're really thinking about different perspectives and how we can all really bring that together and grow as an organization.
That's great. That's great. With, if you want insight from what I say at Hypotherm, when we get people in on their first day, so we do an onboarding intensive. So we do launch days, your first morning, you know, safety, benefits, culture, those types of things. And then they come back for a 2-day mission, values, cut with plasma, customers, communication styles, go right into it. But in the first few minutes when they settle in, because we often have, you know, 15 people that are starting on the same day. And I'll say, okay, you know, has anybody worked at a employee-owned company before? Occasionally a hand goes up, rarely. It's that unicorn in the onboarding group. I say, okay, we just want to set your expectations that we're absolutely sure that working at an employee-owned company is going to be a different experience. We want you to be ready for that. Your voice matters. It matters now. And for those of you that have potentially had a tough prior work or reporting experience, and you really wanted your voice to matter, getting used to the fact that it matters. And we're going to share information with you in a few minutes that usually is shared with director level or higher that have been here for 10 years. We also know that it takes a little bit to get used to and to trust and to believe in. And that's what we're going to help you with over your first year or two. So something along those lines is what we say. Just to sort of set the expectation is ESOPs are known to be great places to work. A fascinating part of ESOP culture to me is that they're not always easy to work at. There's a difference between a great place to work and an easy place. The easy places fade out quickly, fizzle out. The great places, it can be very challenging. It's like, okay, I can't say that's not my job. You figure it out. I can't say that, you know? There's also that expectation we take care of each other and have a cultural normalcy that nobody would do that. And we want to hear a voice first couple days in a meeting. We don't want you to sit there for 6 months because you're new. And for a lot of people, they can come in with a lot of hurt from prior experiences. And then you suddenly open up the doors, your voice matters and we want to hear it. You got to support them over time to trust it. Because for some people, it does take a while. Feels good, but I don't know. I think I like it. I think I trust it. And down the road, it can happen. All right. So this is going to come right back to you. So Jessica, the big question, what does ownership mean to you?
I think it constantly evolves. So, and I think that's one of the great things, because within the organization, as it grows, it really does beg that question, like, what does it mean to be an employee owner as your job changes, maybe your responsibilities, maybe that does kind of change and evolve. So I think for me, it really is having that sense of community at an organization and understanding that no matter where I'm at within the organization, I do have people to kind of make sure that I can kind of lean on and have as support systems. So really great mentors, really great like collaboration within people across other departments, which I think is really amazing. And that's how I think you learn and grow. So I think for employee ownership, it really is having that feeling like you have that seat at the table, that if you do see something, you say something, and that it won't feel like it's like out of turn or like that's not your place, because we all are individuals who are adding to this culture and this community. And as we grow, we always have to rethink about what does it mean to be an effective employee owner. And that might look different from when I started at King Arthur versus right now. And I think that's really important to keep in mind, that things do change and you kind of have to kind of evolve with them as well.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Things definitely change. And yeah, being ready for that and being part of the change, I think is part of what ownership means to me, I guess. Having been at Switchback for a year before we actually became an ESOP, I was like kind of lucky enough to witness how the company was already functioning and recognizing that when we did shift to an ESOP structure and kind of learned all about this culture thing, like we were doing that already. We had some of that in place. We would celebrate people's first year at the company with, you know, a new sweatshirt, kind of showing people that we value their time here. And I guess also something that came to mind when reading this question and what Alex Moss said this morning about kind of that analogy to being a homeowner and ownership really being that you can't say that's not my job, because, you know, we got to make sure if you are the last one in the building that the lights are turned off. You know, we trust everybody to do their part. And that's what makes it possible to kind of, not everybody is, you know, closing the doors every night, but when you're that person, you know that you can trust the person who's doing it tomorrow and the person who did it yesterday. So that kind of collective ownership, but also personal ownership, really all ties together.
I think my response kind of supports both Jessica and Sarah's thoughts, that ownership is an opportunity to create the ideal work environment for me, for my fellow employee owners and my community. I think we talk about how we have this shared responsibility, and it's really an opportunity, right, to use your voice, your role to enhance the organization and what you are about and what you're for. So that's what ownership is.
That's great. Appreciate all your insights. And I'll share one thing and then I'll come back to you. And Katie, if you want to start us off, I'll come back to you for the three words you'd use today for that. Suggestion for you from onboarding so many folks and working on ownership languages and the nuance of helping to convey it. I was talking with Alex about this. Kim Cooper, our ownership team chair, and I were talking with Alex this morning on the way in. I found over the years of talking about ownership that it sounds so simple, but it can really help for newer folks. So if you're an ESOP, that's fantastic. On your first day, we hire kids out of high school that college isn't their path. So just picture somebody who this is their first real job. They use that term, benefits and everything else. Do you go into excruciating detail about how the 401k works? If you do, please stop doing that on the first day. There's only so much they can take in. They probably didn't sleep. They're anxious. It's a whole new adventure. But we don't go deep into the 401k and nuances and funds and everything else. So maybe don't do that with the mechanics of an ESOP. If you separate the ownership experience and talk about it, ownership is a daily experience. Do I like it? Do I want to come back tomorrow? And I say that on the launch day. If today goes well, you're going to go home and feel like you made a good choice. Something felt different. You don't have to define it. We hope you come back tomorrow. If you go too far down the line of ESOP, it's a retirement plan, which is a pretty hard thing to get somebody excited about when their parents might be 20 years from retirement, right? So if you can separate ESOP and just let it be the beautiful wealth building vehicle that it is, but then talk about the daily experience, what's unique. And Sarah, I think I want to go back to something really important. You talked about the experience of being a switchback before it became an ESOP. You know, for Kim and I, Hypertherm's been, into our 21st year. So we didn't get a lot of exposure. Hundreds of us didn't get exposure to that. What it really comes down to is, what are your foundational values? What is your culture? And that decides whether you're a successful ESOP. It's not like you become an owner and then magical things fall out of the ceiling. It actually gets a lot harder because now you're all accountable to each other. So I really appreciate your delving into that with what you shared. So fun question to ask, because the answers could change day to day. And if you had the bandwidth, hour to hour, it depends. But in this moment, if you're to describe ownership in just three words, what would you choose for words? Katie first.
Belonging, responsibility, and opportunity.
Right. Connection, longevity, and passion.
Communication, equity, and inclusivity.
That's awesome. I've recorded at least 20 of these. That's the first time people have actually done it in three words. What's fun about the question, and I'd encourage folks in the room and listeners, is when people answer, there's often a really insightful context that follows. That the sort of, let me explain, this is my experience. And if you get into those moments back, you know, after today's experience, smile, nod, be attentive, and let it roll, because there's gold in there. Do you want to add any? I've never had guests just answer three, so I'm gonna invite a second question. Do you want to start like a little bit more? Repeat your words and give us a little context. This is personal.
Yeah.
Give us more.
Yeah. So mine were community, equity, and inclusivity. I'm very much like a rule person. So I was like, we have to have three succinct words. So that's why I did that. I think for me, I haven't been at King Arthur for a very long 10 years. So I'm about that year and a half mark, which I think is very interesting with employee ownership, because I'm still finding my way. And my first day was actually when it was during October employee ownership month, when we were doing our stock price reveal. And so I was sitting on that session being like, what is going on? Kind of like too much stuff on that first day to really understand how it all worked. But I think one of the great things at King Arthur, we've been around since 1790, and this is our 26th year as an ESOP. So we have a ton of kind of institutional knowledge. We've had folks who've been there before we've become an ESOP. We've had people who have started during the pandemic. So it really runs the gamut. And one of the great things is that I think there's this really great sense of community around how we've evolved as an organization, and that anytime someone new joins, it doesn't matter if you've been here for 25 years, if you're just starting yesterday, there is that feeling of belonging and inclusivity within the organization, especially as we grow and we change kind of how our culture is seen, because pre-pandemic, a majority of our workforce was on site. And now we're kind of all over the US. We have hybrid, we have still on site. So I think as we're changing, I think it's always really great to remember those three things that are kind of at our core, to have that transparency, communication, making sure that people feel that they can bring their full self to work, and that you are kind of making sure that everyone feels like they have that equitable seat at the table, which I definitely do feel as we've kind of evolved even in the last year and a half.
Thank you.
So my words were connection, longevity, and passion, but I kind of want to edit passion to compassion, because I really liked what Jessica just said about people coming to work as they are. You know, we don't always have good days, but I think the part of the culture of being in an employee-owned company is being connected to your coworkers and your co-owners and the people that you see every day, no matter what's going on in our lives. And so kind of that connection and compassion kind of go hand in hand in terms of, yeah, being, you know, a family member, being a community member with the people that you're working with and working alongside and for each other. So I think that's a kind of a big part of the culture, but also just the day-to-day, you know, and longevity, of course, kind of that understanding that this is an opportunity to have a really stable kind of part of our life when things are chaotic, no matter what that looks like, and kind of just having the understanding that the success that we have now, the success that we are working towards in the future, will also be benefiting ourselves and the people that may retire before we do, but are on our team now, and the people that are, you know, close behind us, whoever that might be, is sort of the longevity of not only the individual, but also the company that we are working for. So I know we're really proud that Switchback is not going to be bought out by Anheuser-Busch or anything like that. And kind of the decision to shift to an ESOP structure really made that kind of community base part of our mission kind of manifested and come to life, because we're not planning on moving out of Flint Avenue anytime soon. So
that's great. Thank you.
Belonging, responsibility, and opportunity were my words. Belonging is that opportunity to be unique and bring your uniqueness to work. We want to learn what you know. What were your experiences? What abilities and skills you have? What brings innovative thinking and just be you, right? There's everybody, we can just go buy another version of yourself. You bring your own value. So we want to add to that culture. And then responsibility, as you can see, you don't only have to be effective, but efficient. So if you're told to do it in three words, you do it in the spirit, and you need it in a timely manner and so forth. So that shared responsibility is, okay, how am I doing it? But how am I going to do it in a way that is going to benefit everybody? And opportunity is, you get an opportunity to grow every day, to learn something new, to connect with someone else, to learn about what they're doing. You know, I like to think of every day as a new opportunity to expand the people that I know, the knowledge about the industry, my market, my competitors. You know, how do we stay in the know? Because that's what keeps an organization competitive and give us an advantage. You got to know what's happening outside and how will that affect your work family, right? Like what everything that is happening around you also impacts what we do. So bring that in, because it's that shared responsibility that we have and belonging that really will make us stay in the market for a long, long time.
That's great. That's great. If I was asked after talking to thousands of people about ownership, what's the hardest part of working an employee-owned company? I think it's just saying no. Where do you put that line that I have to do more of what's on my job description and in my performance review? I can't leave you hanging. And that line of, you know, for folks listening, I have my hands up as sort of as the whoa. Mm-hmm. That I've heard so far in years of fascination with the culture is, where's that line of no? How do you tell a fellow owner no? What if that impacts the customer? And I think that's something that's a weight you bear and you continue over hopefully decades at an employee-owned company, figuring out and adjusting and tweaking. So I want to bring this back to your companies. This is a great chance to do some teaching and also just unleash some pride. What's something that you do in employee ownership culture at each of your companies that you're proud of that you can share? Because there's a high likelihood somebody listening will learn, and that's something that can evolve. Where we tend to work, I call it open source within the land of employee ownership, very open with each other. So this is also a chance to share a little pride. What's something that PC Construction does around culture that you would want to share out?
PC Construction is doing a great job sharing our successes and our expertise, but most importantly, internally communicating our lessons learned. When we make mistakes or determine there is room for improvement, as a result, we learn from one another and we promote problem solving. We celebrate and acknowledge our performance as one team. So it's great that we celebrate everything that we do well. But then hopefully if you make a mistake, you're teaching someone else so they don't make that same mistake. And I think that's important in our industry to not repeat what we learn from. I mean, there's going to be mistakes along the way, but really allowing people to make a mistake, take accountability and learn from it and hopefully teach others, right? Usually you learn more when you do something wrong than when things are just going right. That one time you get reprimanded or go into the principal office is something that resonates with you. So when we do that across the board, one, you're thinking, well, I don't really want to be in there. And number two, you're really giving people an opportunity to not make your same mistake. And that's part of that belonging, right? Like if I went through this pain, I would really prefer if you didn't have to. Mm-hmm. So if we keep that mentality, we will learn from each other and we will be able to make new mistakes, but hopefully not the same.
Thank you. Sarah.
One thing that stands out in terms of, I guess, for kind of celebrating, I think I had mentioned kind of our 1 year hoodie. When people have worked full-time at the company, they get a special Arborware kind of double lined hoodie. It gets cold on the production floor in the winter, and we all need more hoodies to wear to work. So that's kind of that 1 year mark isn't always, I totally get everything about ownership. I know what's going on, but it is a gesture that we can make to kind of let people know that we are valuing you, especially in the first year, which is a hard year, kind of no matter what is new. And then something that was in place actually before we became an ESOP, but is still a benefit of being at the company for 10 years, you receive an amount of money to take a trip to Germany, and you have one stop to make, but otherwise you're free to kind of explore beer culture in Germany and traditions. And yeah, it's pretty neat. I have not gone yet, 6 years in, so still counting. I might try to make a personal trip before then, but definitely looking forward to that. And something that we're kind of working on currently is now that a lot of the team actually has become fully invested since the transaction happened in 2017, is sort of, what is the way that we, again, kind of show people that we value their time and energy that they've spent, the investment that they've made with that time and energy in the company, the understanding that hopefully they'll continue to stick around as we continue to grow, continue to be a successful company. And definitely always continuing to work on our communication. We've kind of added our company check-ins more consistently just to give everybody a chance to connect in the afternoon when we have some overlap of the people who might have come in at 6 a.m. and the people who are coming in at noon. So a chance to just kind of make sure we're talking to each other. And we do have a pretty small team. So just kind of letting people know that that's always an option. Wherever you're walking around, our communication sometimes is just baseline. Hey, what's up? What are you doing today? What are you brewing? What are you packaging? How'd it go? So
thanks.
I was like, I want to get that benefit added for the trips. For us, there's a lot of amazing benefits, I think, that we do, especially runs the gamut from like recognition. We have someone who's 30 years this year, which is amazing. Also crazy. But one of the things that comes to mind that I really love about one of our is we do a Thanksgiving drive every year. So we offer every employee owner and also seasonal and temporary employees at the time as well, a turkey or a veggie basket from a local farm stand down the road. And then also if you're remotely based, we do reimbursements, but it's such just a really fun event because everyone kind of just comes through. We have volunteers from across the organization that are like giving things out. It's a really nice time to just catch up with people, especially in the last couple of years. It's been really nice for people who haven't seen folks maybe in person in a while, or even just are new and haven't met a lot of people. So that one always just, I feel like, comes down to that core community aspect, which I really love about King Arthur. And it just is like such a feel good event that we do. And it really makes a difference for a lot of folks during that time of the year. And that's also our busy season for just like Christmas time, holiday time, baking time. I was like Thanksgiving. So it's a really nice break, I think, for a lot of folks to just kind of take some time to connect with folks and then also just get a really great benefit out of it as well. So yeah, that's the top one that comes to mind. And then also communication, I think, is a big one for us as well. We have folks who kind of are in a lot of different areas of the business. One thing we started doing was kind of weekly leadership team calls. So they're check-ins with our co-CEOs, Karen and Ralph, and everyone kind of hops on Zoom. If you're on site, teams get together and watch it. And we also have folks that can kind of submit questions. And it's really just an overall, like, what's going on? What's going well? A big thing for us lately is like, wheat prices and stuff. So we've been talking about that. So I think it's really nice to kind of have that constant communication and ability for people to ask questions and not feel like, oh, I should know this, because sometimes it's not your direct job, but it is really interesting and also important to the company. So I think things like that have been really helpful for us as ways to connect, even if we're not all in the same place anymore.
That's great. Thank you. So if you want to start us off, so we on the EO podcast network, we always ask our guests what their EO aha moment was. So it's not the moment you understood it. It's that personal moment where you're like, oh, this could be something special. Like, can you share your EO aha moment? We can come back to it too.
I was like, yeah,
that's cool. That's cool. Go ahead, Sarah.
I do have one. I actually shared it earlier today with somebody, but we became an ESOP in 2017, and it was in 2019 that I believe it was either 5 or 6 of our employees purchased a home in Vermont. So for me, you said, wow, that's what I said. that just spoke to the stability, the longevity, the understanding that people were ready to really commit. And I mean, they already were committed, but I think that added, if you retire, whatever's next, we're always going to be here for you. And then bam, 2020 happened. We didn't have to lay anybody off. You know, some people's lives changed and some people did leave the company, but by choice. And then, so that's also something that I was really proud of. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
My EO moment is, it happened when we received our first EPIP. It's our employee profit incentive plan bonus. So we may get that once a year when we exceed our financials, and our success had a monetary value, and it just impacted a lot of my HR functions, recruiting, retention, and developing our human capital. So it set us apart from just being an employee. So part of that introduction of ownership and what set us apart, this incentive plan really helped me connect with people to differentiate what is an employer and an employee ownership environment. And I think that was, for me, the game changer.
That's great. That's great. Do you want to add one? You can check it off.
I think my aha moment was just, in HR, you see a lot of folks who have moved around the organization so much in a lot of different areas. And I think for me, that speaks to kind of that longevity and stability that people have within the organization. And that if you have a passion for something, which maybe when you came into the organization, you didn't know that you had, but then just working alongside folks in other areas or just understanding different aspects of what we do, and you have that opportunity to kind of grow and move where you see fit and not having to feel like you have to leave the organization or you have to go somewhere else. I think having that opportunity to really explore what makes you want to go to work every day, and that the company will support you within that, and really want to make sure that you're growing and thriving and performing the way that you want to, and having the opportunities to be able to do that. And I think that's very different from some other organizations that I've worked at, and really having that opportunity to really just express what you want to do and having the opportunity to hopefully be able to do it at the organization you're at and grow within as well.
That's great. So I want to please.
Jessica, you just reminded me of something that actually has stuck in my mind since the first Vermont Employee Ownership Conference that I went to. I guess it was 2017, I don't know. But something that I remember that somebody said was, inventory your talent, which is like, if you are hired for a certain position and you're in it, but you've been introduced to something that you didn't really know was actually maybe more of your calling, being in an employee-owned company, yeah, more easily. I'm not saying that, you know, no other company or business would allow you to move around, but that recognition that there's so much talent on our team and we all have our job descriptions and what we do, but there's so much more or different things that we can do, and how can we kind of shift those to really work for everybody and then also work for the company.
That's a great ad. Thank you. So I want to throw out a question I didn't give you ahead of time. So I'm going to state the question, explain it to let your minds race ahead, and then I'll come back and ask it just to try to be a good host for you. So I did a series of Hypertherm of women in manufacturing. So we went from shipping to assembly to machine operators to design engineers to leaders to sales all the way through to try to show the value stream. And teammate and friend Gabe Luke added a question that I want to ask you, which is, what keeps you coming back? That was very interesting. For me, is we had an amazing response to that question. I didn't appreciate when I started asking it the gifts that would come back. But I think within a conversation about ownership, I think it's also healthy to acknowledge that it's not always easy. And I think it's healthy in these times. The world's a little bit intense. This is a historically challenging time to get up in the morning and go to work. And you can read into that what you want to. I have the mic and that's the way I'm putting it. So I think it's healthy to acknowledge that these are unprecedented times. And so because of the reaction from my women coworkers across shifts and across countries, I wanted to just ask you the same thing. So just, this is a really personal question. So what you're comfortable with, what keeps you coming back?
My own opportunity to grow. I feel like every time I come to work, I have an opportunity to learn more. And I think the team really challenges me to see myself in a different light. You know, we often have an idea of who we are, but when you ask for feedback from others, you receive different things. And I think I'm always challenged, and I always, you know, think about all the things that I can improve. So every day is an opportunity to get better at something that I wasn't so good at yesterday, or set a new goal. So that continuous desire to be valuable to every single person that I see every day. And to how can you ask someone to do something that you're not willing to do yourself really sticks with me. So how am I asking people to bring their best self if I'm not there to show the best version of me today? Hopefully better tomorrow than it is today.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I guess it's hard. It's work. But being in a position that I feel like I am adding value to it, or yeah, making those hard things better. And also I think part of coming to work when things are hard is that there's the space to be honest. There's space to have conversations about, and transparent and honest conversations about, what do we need to work on, and being willing to confront those things that we can do better, and that I want to be part of making those things better, and not just kind of leave it for someone else to handle and think that I'm going to find a better company out there, because I don't think I will.
Thank you.
In HR, we're kind of serving our internal customers, so our EOs. So if you have 400 people that you're trying to make happy, that sometimes isn't the case. So I think it really boils down to those little moments that really make the biggest impact and really drive me to come back every day, because it might be something that seems either like maybe not as significant to me, or that it's a small gesture that I'm helping someone with something, but it makes a really big impact for them and their workday, or outside of work if there's resources we can help with. So I think that's the biggest thing for me, is really having that connection with all of our different employee owners and being able to help support them in best way to make them have the best day at work they can and have their best path for performance. And if there are things that they need help with, that we can kind of provide as much resources as we can. And I think that's been something that is always really fulfilling. But yeah, I would say it definitely is varies day by day. And sometimes some days are harder than others, but in the grand scheme of things, it all usually boils up to being a really impactful experience, and that having those relationships with people throughout the company and understanding what they do and having that respect for the work that they do and how you can help support them is really rewarding.
That's great. Please add, Katie.
Thank you. I just, I think it's important for any organization to demonstrate grit and being resilient. We know we live in a world that changes every day, but I think when we collectively look for the commonwealth, it's easier to problem solve and to really bring us to a better solution or a better company, a better day. So I think that we all have that power. And I think definitely the employee ownership gives you that opportunity to make sure that everybody feels value and that everybody can learn and grow from every single day and from what you do.
That's great. Well, if you want to hold on to the mic, what I'd like to do is finish. I want to give you strong encouragement, adrenaline-fueled promotion of your companies, and why somebody thinking of looking for another adventure should come to each of your companies. So no boxing out, but this is your opportunity. Because however we can amplify the experience of ownership, the daily experience, personal wealth building, it's fantastic. But we are at the very beginning of an adventure in hiring that is only going to get exponentially harder. This isn't a momentary thing. It is going to get harder. And so the more we believe, Brett and I believe, lots of employee owners believe, the more that is pulled into employee ownership in whatever form that is, the better it's going to be for the workers, the better it's going to be for the communities and our country. So I want to give you a chance to really plug your companies. We can just jump right into it if you want. Why, if you have the floor, why should somebody even thinking of your company come work at PC Construction? Go for it.
Well, do you want to be part of a team that will inspire you to be the best version of yourself? Come to PC. If you want to be, if you want a place that have learned through the good and the bad, come work for us. If you can relate to the ups and the downs, come work for us. So no matter where you've been in your life, we have been there as a company, and we're ready for you to come join us.
Awesome. You nailed it.
That was awesome. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Switchback is not usually a hard sell, so I don't feel bad following that up. But
we'll have happy hour.
Come on down. We're all about supporting the community. And also, I think there's just such a pride that comes with being at the company. If you talk to any of our employees when they're out in the world, we're not all people, but so we're not always, not everyone is as social as I am who works at Switchback, and that's totally fine. But when we are sitting at the bar, I know that there's a sense of pride of, when you see somebody who orders a Switchback or who's biking with a Switchback jersey on, there's kind of a proud mom, proud dad moment where you're like, awesome. Love it. I love to see the support. And you know, we are throughout the state and we aren't moving out of Vermont. And so I feel like just pride is really what comes to mind when you talk about Switchback, you talk about working there, you talk about even just supporting the company when you are out and you're ordering a Switchback, you know, you're investing in the residents of Vermont. And so it really kind of comes down to supporting one another on that base level.
Nice. Well done.
Hard to follow up both of those, but that was kind of what I was going to say too, really having that pride for the brand. So I've been a big King Arthur fan ever since I was a kid and baking with my family. So I think that always really comes back to like why I'm still there. And I love the organization and kind of folks come from all walks of life. You don't have to be a baker in order to, you could love to eat baked goods or not either of those either. But I think it's really that pride that we see, like you said, on the shelves where my family will call me and be like, I just like helped with your ESOP because we just bought like flour today at the grocery store. So I think things like that are always really exciting to see. And I think it really does come back to that community. Like, I think one of the things we always strive for at King Arthur is that treat others how you want to be treated. So you don't have to come a certain way or fit into the culture. We really want the culture to expand and grow. And also we do get free bread and flour every month. So if that would help people come. But really, no, it's just really, I think that excitement whenever we see a new product come out or people being stoked about something that they baked and having a really great comment or like our recipe of the year, we do emails every week where people have social posts being like, I baked with my kids today, or this is my dog with like the dog biscuits that just came out. So like little things like that, that really just make me excited to go to work and be very proud for the company that I work for.
That's great. Thank you very much. It's powerful to have a mission to buy employee owned. So that's wonderful. So I want to give the audience a chance. We have an awesome panel. If there are any questions from the audience or things you want to hear more about, just give me a reasonable hand wave. If not, all right, hearing none, I run in school board meetings. So if I'm following Robert's rules, go ahead, please. If you could introduce yourself and your company.
Eric Kruger, Deconstruction Works, sort of reforming a worker cooperative. How have you found that being an employee-owned company has helped with recruitment? Is there any particular area where you're advertising where you think you're getting higher quality candidates because of your company culture?
I think for us, definitely in the construction world, our company has very competitive benefits, health, and you know, that life and work balance that we talked about. So what really helped us set aside is just showing what the organization do for every single employee. And that's that work-life balance, their PTO, their holidays, all the things that really matter from you when you are at work, but also what you're at work for, right? Who you working for. So I think that really helped us recruit people and talent that want to make their work value, but also want to share that with on their time off with their family and loved ones.
I would definitely echo that. I think benefits and kind of understanding that this can be a long-term career and that you can really grow within the company, I think is something that has really helped us. And I think our longevity within where we've been. So we are based in the Upper Valley in Vermont, and we've been there for a decent amount of time. And I think having that kind of mainstay in Vermont is really helpful as well. And that we really do care about our local community and kind of how we give back with our paid volunteer time. And kind of just, we have really great partnerships with local nonprofits as well. So I think kind of there's that collective views that yes, there is that work that you're doing day in and day out, but there's a lot of other opportunities for you at the organization. So there's definitely your core benefits, but fringe benefits, different programs, different ways to get involved, and a way to kind of maybe exercise a lot of different passions in one place as well.
I will say it's hard to recruit employees. I mean, my experience is mostly in the tap room, which is a bit more of like a part-time and it's a bar. So it's kind of fun. But in terms of kind of our long-term recruitment for the rest of the company, I'd say we're really shifting to kind of using our social media and like our website as the outlet for representing what it means to work at Switchback. And I think for us, there is a part of kind of wanting to convey that sort of the attitude of wanting to learn, being eager and enthusiastic to kind of join the team is almost more important or as important as the experience that someone can bring to like a particular job description. So even if somebody has not worked in on a production floor at like a, you know, beverage manufacturing, if they have that attitude and are willing to kind of lean into the lifestyle that the workplace offers. That is kind of what we want to get across to people, because I think there's so much focus on like, well, my resume is not going to look like I'm fitting for this position. And so something that I know the production manager has really been working on in terms of how he words when we are looking to hire people is how can we not scare away people that feel like they don't have the technical experience to be in the position that we're working for, but how do we find those people with the enthusiasm and the attitude who are willing to learn and ask questions and kind of fit into the team as a whole?
That's great. Thanks for that. Thanks for the answers. Any other questions from the audience for the panel? All right. I just wanted to share something quick on this topic that I shared at the NCO conference from, I laughed out loud as an employee owner. I hope it resonates for all of you. Hashtag culture on LinkedIn. When asked what employees want most from their jobs, executives said values alignment, on the job learning, learning and upskilling. Sounds pretty reasonable. When they asked the employees said pay, work-life balance, and having good coworkers, which is a very loud message I was smiling through with your panel time today. So I really appreciate the panel participation, putting yourselves out there, sharing about yourself, sharing about the company. In my time management and not wanting to disrupt that, I've kind of tightened up the amount of time anyone in the audience might have to share their own ownership statement. So we'll finish that in just a moment, but I do really appreciate it. So thanks for being our guests. Appreciate the live audience. Appreciate the growing national audience for listeners. And again, I'm Jesse Tyler from the Owner to Owner podcast for the EO Podcast Network. Get a round of applause.
We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook at EO Podcast Network and on Twitter at ESOP Podcast. This podcast has been produced by Brett Kiesling for the EO Podcast Network. Original music composed by Max Kiesling. Branding and marketing by Bitsy Plus Design. And I'm Bitsy McCann.